is still, when you look at him fair and square, a scientific hypothesis. I return to the point. A universe in which we are alone except for other slowly evolved intelligences is a very different universe from one with an original guiding agent whose intelligent design is responsible for its very existence. I accept that it may not be so easy in practice to distinguish one kind of universe from the other. Nevertheless, there is something utterly special about the hypothesis of ultimate design and equally special about the only known alternative, gradual evolution in the broad sense. They are close to being irreconcilably different. Like nothing else, evolution really does provide an explanation for the existence of entities whose improbability would otherwise, for practical purposes, rule them out. And the conclusion to the argument, as I shall show in Chapter 4, is close to being terminally fatal to the God hypothesis.
The Great Prayer Experiment. An amusing, if rather pathetic, case study in miracles is the Great Prayer Experiment. Does praying for patients help them recover? Prayers are commonly offered for sick people, both privately and in formal places of worship. Darwin's cousin, Francis Galton, was the first to analyse scientifically whether praying for people is efficacious. He noted that every Sunday in churches throughout Britain, entire congregations prayed publicly for the health of the royal family. Shouldn't they, therefore, be unusually fit, compared with the rest of us, who are prayed for only by our nearest and dearest? Galton looked into it and found no statistical difference. His intention may, in any case, have been satirical, as also when he prayed over randomised plots of land to see if the plants would grow any faster. They didn't. More recently, the physicist Russell Stannard, one of Britain's three well-known religious scientists, as we shall see, has thrown his weight behind an initiative funded by, of course, the Templeton Foundation, to test experimentally the proposition that praying for sick patients improves their health.
Such experiments, if done properly, have to be double-blind, and this standard was strictly observed. The patients were assigned, strictly at random, to an experimental group, received prayers, or a control group, received no prayers. Neither the patients, nor their doctors or caregivers, nor the experimenters were allowed to know which patients were being prayed for and which patients were controls. Those who did the experimental praying had to know the names of the individuals for whom they were praying, otherwise in what sense would they be praying for them rather than for somebody else. But care was taken to tell them only the first name and initial letter of the surname. Apparently, that would be enough to enable God to pinpoint the right hospital bed. The very idea of doing such experiments is open to a generous measure of ridicule, and the project duly received it. As far as I know, Bob Newhart didn't do a sketch about it, but I can distinctly hear his voice.
"What's that you say, Lord? You can't cure me because I'm a member of the control group? Oh, I see, my aunt's prayers aren't enough, but Lord, Mr. Evans in the next door bed, what was that, Lord? Mr. Evans received 1,000 prayers per day? But Lord, Mr. Evans doesn't know 1,000 people. Oh, they just referred to him as John E. But Lord, how did you know they didn't mean John Ellsworthy? Oh, right, you used your omniscience to work out which John E. they meant. But Lord..."
Valiantly shouldering aside all mockery, the team of researchers soldiered on, spending $2.4 million of Templeton money under the leadership of Dr. Herbert Benson, a cardiologist at the Mind-Body Medical Institute near Boston.